Our old friend Michael Catherwood rejoins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today to talk about his domestic journey. He's trying to buy only U.S.-made goods for 1 year. We'll discuss that. Plus, from the great show Southland, actors Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And keep listening for a chance to qualify to see Incubus in Australia. Don't you know?
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And on the wheel, we have Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche. We have Badass Super Soldier Ants. We have Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
I love Boo.
I hate Boo.
He's the cutest dog in the world.
That's it. That's the whole thing. The albino cyclops shark. I don't do an impression of that one. Indian scalping leopard. We have Curly, the fugitive Christmas goat. We have the world's oldest dog in heaven. We have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, Irwin. That's so sad. There's so many great choices. I don't even know where I want it to land
now. And we have the cat with two faces. So let's spin the wheel and find out.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it.
There it is.
That felt good.
That was a good spin, yeah.
Thanks very much. Nope.
Oh, hold on. What was it? Fearbug, did you see it? What did it land on?
It was stupid Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
You cutest dog?
I can respin. Why can't I respin?
The rules say one spin. That's it. It's Boo.
Boo is the cutest dog. By the way, one of the Christmas presents that I got for the King of Mexico was a Boo, the Cutest Dog in the World book, which is just fantastic. It's all sorts of pictures of Boo. If you haven't seen him yet, you can go to Facebook right now. His page is just Boo. It's Facebook / Boo, B-O-O.
Love dogs, but right. Boo.
Boo is a Pomeranian.
Boo.
He looks like a little bear. He has 3 million fans on Facebook, by the way. Boo does. He's got a book out. He's got a line of stuffed toys. Boo has it going on, and we asked producer Dave if he could line up Boo in the last 30 seconds since it landed on that on the wheel, and I believe we have him on the show with us right now. Hi, Boo.
Hi, Boo. How does it feel to be voted the cutest dog in the world?
Oh, I couldn't be more happy.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much, everybody who thinks I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Well, you actually are the cutest dog in the world, Boo.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so good in my heart.
In your heart?
Oh, yes.
Sure. See, don't make that noise, though. That noise is a little annoying, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
Well,
I just want everyone to love me.
Right.
Sure. Boo, what's it like having your own gunned stuffed toy? I mean, there are millions of Boos in bedrooms all over the world right now.
Well, not yet. It's $20, and it'll be available in March. You can buy it.
So
buy it. You can pre-order it now online.
Nope.
And it's a limit of 6 Boos per household.
Yeah, that's right. You need to put that limit.
Sure, everyone knows you can only order 6.
Because you're going to want to order a lot more.
Yeah. And I also have my book, Boo, The Life of the World's Cutest Dog. It is still available at bookstores or on Amazon or a website near you.
What's in that book?
Just about my life.
Just you going, just, pop, pop, pop.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's just about me and my hold on a second. This coffee is cold, asshole.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You like your job?
Whoa.
Do you like your job?
Whoa.
Do your damn job. Do it right.
Boo, whoa.
Do it or you're fired.
Wait,
hello?
What just happened? What's going on?
Nothing. I just had a little misunderstanding with my personal assistant.
It sounded like you were whipping your personal assistant.
No, that's crazy. I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Well, that's, yeah, sure. That's
And
if you want to buy my stuffed animal, where's the website for the stuffed animal? Where is it? It's not on my paperwork,
This is ugly.
No, it's just a website.
Please stop.
Brother, to do this job.
Boo, come on.
Hello?
There's nothing cute about that. That's terrible. Don't treat people like that.
Are you guys my fans on Facebook?
No!
Please join.
Why?
I would love to have you. I love all my fans.
Uh-huh.
And I love that everyone thinks I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Right. Well, I used to think you were cute, but now I don't know.
I am cute.
All right.
Who set up this interview? Who are these assholes?
Hey, Boo!
What a,
we were
you are the worst assistant I've ever had.
We were on your side. Whoa!
I need a new assistant.
Okay. Time for an all-new Bean's Death Corner. Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Got some great stories for you. Sometimes it's just people making poor decisions. Beer Mug, you'll relate to this guy. He goes out drinking with his... Hey, you don't know what the story is yet.
Oh, sorry.
He decides to go out drinking with his landlord until 3 o'clock in the morning. Chris Bailey is his name. He lives in Brighton, Britain. He's 28 years old. He gets home from a long night of drinking. What do you suppose he decides to do in that inebriated state?
Drink?
No, lift weights, Kevin. He decides he's going to lift weights in his garage. Well, his landlord, Oliver Steele, finds the man's body in the garage the next day. He woke up, and I found him on the bench with a bar across his chest. I tried to wake him, but I knew he was dead. I had to try and lift the weight off of him, which wasn't easy because it was so heavy. I tried to resuscitate him, but he was gone. You don't lift weights after a night of drinking that's by yourself, right?
Bean, you're not a drinker. You do anything after. If you drink all night, everything is the best idea you've ever
that's
had.
That's right. Doesn't matter. Painting, yep. Water skiing, whatever it is.
Whatever.
Here's someone else who failed at sport. He's a professional boxer from New Zealand. He had his professional boxing debut this week. He's from New Zealand, but for some reason he was boxing in Tahiti, by the way.
Okay.
The French Polynesian Boxing Federation confirmed that the man died in a hospital about an hour after being admitted in a fight. He was hit 32 seconds into the first round of his first fight and was killed.
Wow.
He is not a good boxer. He was not prepared. He did not have the skill set to make a viable career out of boxing.
That was round one of his life
first
in boxing?
Fight. Yes.
Wow.
29 years old.
Most
hit
of the
in the
time,
head, taken to the hospital, dead.
Most of the time when you're just getting started, you fight other people that are just getting started. They're not that good.
Right.
It's not like you fight the best in the world. That's all.
Not a great, an auspicious beginning to his career. He's no Muhammad Ali. Ralph made reference to this guy on the show yesterday, but he's worth a mention here in the Death Corner as well. Robert Gene White is the man. He's everybody's hero. 67 years old, goes to a Texas strip club. This happened last Friday night. When it came time to pay, well, the girls found him unresponsive. Yes. He had died in the strip club. Got too many lap dances. Death by strippers, ladies and gentlemen.
Death by lap dance. I love it.
That's how you want to go.
And he did it without just before you're supposed to pay.
Absolutely, yeah. He had a heart attack. So I don't know where they should advertise where this strip club is. It's
no
not
kidding.
Because it sounds like the chicks must be unbelievably hot there, right?
Gave a guy a heart attack. It should
say
on the
side. Gave a heart attack, right. Here's one, speaking of Ralph, I think he'll enjoy this very much. He, I'm certain, must be familiar with the porn star Sunny Day. She's been around for a long time. She is a Florida porn star who is famous in the bondage world, does a lot of that.
Okay.
She also apparently will have sex for hire.
Right.
She was hired by a 28-year-old named Jason Andrews. This happened back in 2010. It's in the news this week because the trial has just concluded. She went over to this guy's house, and for some reason, and it's unclear why, she and her boyfriend decided that they were going to kill this guy. But she had sex with him first.
Okay.
After she went over, had sex with a guy who had hired her to have sex with him, then her boyfriend came into the room and they bludgeoned him to death with a hammer.
Why?
Would you do that? And then they robbed him. Then they stole $6,000 from him, credit cards, video game, ransacked his apartment, and took off.
Was she just checking to make sure there was no one else there? Why would she have sex with him first?
She just had an itch that he could scratch.
I don't know, but I wanted to bring this story up because, A, you know, you don't often see famous porn stars committing murder, but B, this is not what the guy was paying for. This is not how he envisioned this game was going to go.
Did you see the contract that was drawn up? Maybe he wanted to be killed.
But here's a guy who goes, hey, here's my favorite porn star. I can't believe how awesome this is. How lucky am I? I get to hire the actual woman that I love on film, have her come over and service me. The last thing in the world he expects is that he's going to be bludgeoned to death with a hammer, right? That is not sexy.
I think it's nice that she slept with him first. So it's the highest high and the lowest low. But at first, you have the highest high.
At first, there was some payoff.
Yeah.
You're right, Lisa. When you put it that way, it's like our friend in the strip club. It would have been so much worse if he hadn't had such a great night before he went out.
Exactly.
And finally, in all the time we've been doing Death Corner, I've never seen one end like this before. But here's a woman who gets into an altercation over a parking spot. Now, she's dropping off her kid. She takes her kid to school on a scooter. And for some reason, she needs to leave her scooter out in front of a shopping center, in front of a guy's store. The guy comes out of a store. He's 42 years old. He says, you can't leave your bike there. And she says, I'm only running him for a second. He says, no. An altercation begins. They get into a tussle. She grabs him by the testicles.
Oh!
And squeezes them until he blacks out.
Oh, my God.
Passersby call 911, whatever that is in China. They take him to the hospital. The man is already dead.
It killed him?
He died by ball squeezing.
How did that? Did he have a heart attack or something?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't say. I don't know what the science is behind. I know you do pass out from the pain of having your testicles squeezed, but I didn't know that you could squeeze so far that it would kill you.
That's just not good.
Woman wants to park her scooter in front of your shop. You say yes. No death by what they're calling testicular asphyxiation.
Oh, man.
Who, by the way, are on the Warped Tour this year,
That's true.
You definitely ought to check them out. This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I think you owe somebody a dollar, Kevin. Mr. Dick is here on time in studio, ready to go.
Yep.
Come on.
On 1 hour sleep, too, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Whoa, Andy Dick. What's going on, buddy?
Well, yeah.
I did make a bet against you being here on time.
I know, I'm sure. And I was listening on my way in. Just to see what you guys were going to say.
And we were complimentary as always. Andy,
you
love you.
Oh,
we
you did say something. Then I thought, oh, how can I live up to that?
Would you rather we bad mouth you?
Okay. I think I like that. Yeah.
Andy, I was thinking, and tell me if I'm wrong, you probably remember this
better
than I do.
You're probably right, and I probably don't remember.
I think you've been coming on our show for 20 years.
Yes.
I really do. So
yes, that is true.
We're always happy to see you because, frankly, every time we see you, we're convinced it's going to be the last time we'll see you. So we're just excited.
I'm still on the Kevin and Bean death pool.
Yes.
You've been
number one with a bullet.
You're a pretty good bet as well.
Jeez.
So you know.
It's you or Zsa Zsa this weekend. I just haven't decided how it's
going to go. Zsa Zsa.
Right.
I'm not. I'm beating out Don Rickles.
Why were you up all
night? Because he's turning
night?
86. That means he's going to be 86.
The pool changes every time you come in because sometimes you'll come in and then we know you won't remember it in 5 minutes. And other times, like now, you seem like you might remember this.
I'm
so
lucid.
It depends on, okay.
Lucid.
Why were you up all night, Andy? What
I was going to say. It's not like the old days. Remember I would roll in after, you know, like during the party.
You bring
the party with you. The party would come with you and be in the hallway for a minute while you came in here.
I remember a lot of movies without pants, too, back in the day.
Oh, no, well, come on. That's not true. I would come in here with no pants.
Yes, yeah. That happened.
Or I came in with pants and then they would come down.
There you go.
Let's get the story.
And then sometimes
straight.
Other people's pants would have to come down, too.
That's called the old turn and cough. I turn into Dr. Dickley. I don't know.
What happened last night? Now tell me about that.
No, there's no what happened. My schedule now is I go to bed around 3 or 4.
Okay.
And you guys needed me here like now.
Yeah.
I live in Topanga Canyon.
Oh, wow.
So
Are you a hippie now?
Well, I've always been a hippie, but
hippie-ish?
Not hippie-ish. My ex has the main house. She lives in Topanga, and I live in the back.
In a shed.
the dog house.
Andy Dick lives in the back
of his
property, and his ex lives in the house, and he lives in the shed.
Yes. You know what? It is the Rolls Royce of sheds. I mean, it's a nice GD shed.
It is.
It is.
Understood. Okay.
But at the end of the day, still
it's a shed. Right. Right.
So Andy, how do you, when you meet people now?
Actually.
You have a picture of your shed?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just took one last night when I was on the phone with my friend.
I saw a video of you with a bunch of friends in there.
How can we show people?
Well, we can put it up on the site in between the breaks.
Yeah, we'll put it on our website.
Yeah. Okay. Don't go through my pictures.
I'm afraid. I wouldn't dare.
All right, let's talk about the pictures later.
Yeah, okay.
Are you still doing stand-up, Andy?
Wow.
I never did. I don't know if you remember. I really have been coming on this show for about 20 years.
Yeah,
I remember
right.
the first time news radio. Do you remember when I was big in the late
90s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. News radio was huge.
It was the that was my heyday.
Yeah. You probably still get checks from news radio, right? That's got to
help.
Yeah,
you know, 32 cents.
Okay. Well, that was like pre-shed. That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then I had a whole, I had many shows after that. I had the Andy Dick. Well, you know, you can Google my resume.
Yeah, the MTV show. I remember. Yeah.
But
you never did stand-up because you used to do, you used to appear at clubs and stuff all the time on stage.
Yes, I go live on stage, but I do a one-man musical. Back then, I tried to get you guys to go. I was at the Key Club.
We were busy.
I remember every time we were busy that weekend.
Whenever that was, we had stuff to do. Yeah, you guys were busy sleeping probably because you have to get up at 2
that's true.
Or whatever. Do you remember? There's so many things I remember. Do you remember when I introduced a band on at one of the, it was the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. Was that you guys?
Yeah.
You do that.
Yeah, that's us.
And then I wanted to introduce remember the Presidents of the United States of America,
of
the band.
Yeah, love them.
And
yeah.
I love them. They had that one album, right? And then broke up.
So you wanted to, but we didn't.
I wanted to. I said, I want to go out and I just want to wear a sock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that? And you guys said, no.
Well, it's not just us in that particular case, unfortunately.
It would have been great.
I would have loved it.
Great. But yeah, Andy. I do this one-man show. I do a musical. I did it back then. I've been doing the same thing, but it mutates. It gets better. It evolves. It devolves. It like retards.
Do you remember? Do you remember? And we can't play it now because of our lawyers who've gone crazy.
Why?
But do you remember your addition to our Christmas CD? Little Brown Rain?
Every year.
Little Brown Rain.
That was
Santa
the first
Claus
one.
Song. He did a Santa Claus song.
I did about five different Christmas songs for you guys. Little Brown Rain's the only one
that's stuck here.
That's the only one. I remember Santa's Yule Log.
Yes, right.
I remember Gassy Jesus.
That's right.
Remember, there are literally five different.
We can always count on you every year for a song.
Thank you, but you don't do them anymore.
We don't do them.
Okay, because I thought maybe you just stopped asking.
No, we didn't ask you.
In fact, one year when I was doing that, I came into either this studio or I think it was there was another.
We were over there.
You were over there.
Yeah.
And there was this little kid running around. I brought my son in with me. The intern brought my son across the street, who's now doing stand-up, Lucas Dick. He's 24 now.
Really?
I think he was 9 at the time. No joke. And this intern kid took him across somewhere around here to get him some French fries.
Okay.
And that's a fantastic story. Well, the kid is Jimmy Kimmel.
Whoa!
Hi.
That is a fantastic story.
It is. Yeah. God, you couldn't wait that. For it, could you?
Bean has very little patience.
Yeah, you should.
That was a good payoff.
That was a great payoff. There's so many.
But it really has been
20 years.
Speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, was it that the latest show that you got thrown off on for?
No. That was a while ago too. The latest show.
What's the latest one you got thrown off of? That's what I wanted to talk about.
Thank you so much. Yes. And this is what I wanted to talk about that you guys probably don't even know.
Okay.
I was thrown off. Okay, I'm proud of it. I'm not proud of it, but okay. I was thrown off of Jimmy Kimmel for being drunk. I was drunk,
mm-hmm. right.
So not only drunk in public, but drunk on TV, national TV, but it really was for kind of touching Ivanka Trump, and blame her because she was wearing sparkly makeup on her legs.
But I don't think that means touch my legs. You know,
to a drunk guy, I was like a raccoon, and swatting
she
at her.
For defense.
But she had a bob going with. She had a little ponytail that I was swatting at like a cat, and then touching her legs, and I got thrown off. But here's my point.
I can't imagine why they threw you off.
Here is why, and I believe this because a year prior. 1 year, almost to the month, before I had shot a scene with Jimmy Kimmel using him, his stage, his audience, for my movie, Danny Roan, First Time Director. The first and only movie I've written and directed that you guys probably didn't even know.
No.
It's my favorite. We were busy when it came out.
We were busy.
Well, Lionsgate bought it. It never had an opening, but it went straight to Comedy Central.
Okay, so
played for a year because... Well, did you hear my point? A year prior, I shot a scene where I got kicked off for being too drunk. But in my movie, I urinate on Jimmy Kimmel in my movie, and then I get pulled off a year later. So that is life imitating art. The opposite, life imitating art. And my point is, Danny Rohn, first time director, is right now streaming instantly on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen,
5 years later.
Brought it all the way around.
5 years later. Awesome. Like out of the blue, nobody told me. A friend said, you know, your movie's on. And that's all I want is for people to see it.
I want to see the Jimmy Kimmel scene.
Well, you can fast forward. Well, it's in the beginning, so you can see the first 10 minutes. And if it does not suck you in, then I didn't do my
job. What's the name of it?
Danny Rohn. R-O-A-N-E.
All right.
First time.
Of course,
first-time
there's a colon.
There's always a colon with Andy.
There's always a colon with Dick.
Uh-oh. Andy Dick is here. We're not sure why, but we love it.
I just gave you one reason why.
No, I'm just saying.
Why has he always got to give me the sting?
I'm telling you, we're excited that you're here. We're happy to see you, Andy.
No joke.
And we're going to talk some more. You got another movie coming out called Freaky Deaky. We'll come back and talk about it. We're going to talk about your podcast. We're going to talk about that. And I also see you brought a guitar. There may be a little something we can do with that.
Yes.
So good times ahead.
Live show. Thank you.
With Andy Dick here. We'll return right after this on the Kevin. Our friend Andy Dick in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Been a while since we've caught up with Andy, and he has been very busy with a bunch of movies, including Freaky Deaky, which is new, coming out. When's that one coming out, Andy? Do you know?
Well,
Crispin Glover?
We play brothers. And it went to Tribeca. It was at Tribeca. I was in New York City just a few weeks ago. So Crispin Glover and I, remember when Crispin was on David Letterman?
And he kicked his head and he got thrown off?
He was almost inches away from his head.
One of the craziest things that ever happened in television.
I loved it. Right up there with when Andy Kaufman got hit by Lawler.
Yes. Who was nuttier on the set? You or Crispin Glover? Because he's crazy,
Who was nuttier?
Crazy
we were both. You know, I don't. The word nut. What does that mean?
Whatever.
I mean,
crazy.
We were. I love that guy.
I do too.
But he's enormously talented.
He's a weirdo.
we get along. Like it's.
Of course, you get along. With him.
Do you understand him?
Totally.
Really?
And I envy him. I look up to him, and I try to emulate him. He has a castle in the Czech Republic. For real?
That's awesome.
I know. I can't.
That's so much better than your shed in the backyard.
See what I mean? I look up to him.
And you got to get Crispin Glover on your podcast. That would be a fascinating conversation.
That
the two
would
of you
be
together.
Great.
Now the podcast
I'm gonna do that.
Is actually called the Show, but it's Shed Show.
The Shed Show
on iTunes. You can look for the Shed
on
Show
on iTunes. Yeah, because you can't say the SH word.
Right. Yeah. And you have some great guests on the podcast. You just put the Debbie Gibson episode up. You had Eric Roberts recently, and it's just you interview people, right? And tell stories.
We just talk about. Usually, it's people that I do know that I have worked with. I was looking at the internet. Fuse. Are they a competitor of yours? Fuse TV?
No, because we're not a TV station.
Right. But Marilyn Manson, I'm going to have him on.
Fantastic.
Wrangle him up.
That guy has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he's funny.
A lot of people may not realize that. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, very funny.
Andy, are you happy right now? I know you're sober. Are you happy? Are things going well for you?
I'm happy. I would like to be busy.
Busier.
Yeah. I'm busy, but I feel like I'm treading water to get uphill, kind of.
Right.
You know, like all these, and I'm grateful to have my podcast, but at the end of the day, it's a podcast.
Right. You'd like more work is what you're saying.
You know what I would love? Another sitcom. But I wouldn't.
Yeah, that too, but I can't act.
No, sitcoms are the way to go. Now, how would it work for a guy like you? I mean, would you audition for sitcoms or would you just wait for somebody to write you something? Or what would you do?
Well, actually, that's strange. We are shooting a pilot. This guy next to me, Dan Tino.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
We're shooting a pilot called Dickinson. Which is about my son Lucas and I, Dick and son.
Oh, sure. Gotcha.
Dickinson. So basically, at this point, I have to do my own thing. So I have to shoot my own things and then present it to whoever. So,
are you shocked at how well your son turned out?
Yeah.
Having the father that he
has. Yes. I know. I am.
We were shocked when he came in. He is so nice and well-adjusted.
When did he come in?
He came in with you when you brought in the six-pack. You don't remember that visit at all.
And we also have met him a couple of other times at live events and things like that where he's been. He just seems like a very regular kid.
He's amazing. He just hopped in the car, and he's driving up to Seattle right now to stand up, which by the way, I'm going to be in. Are you guys national? I can't remember.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm going to be in Salem, Oregon.
All right. Well, maybe if anybody's going to Salem, Oregon.
my one-man show, which is actually not one man because there's a band.
So
this,
it's poorly named. First of all.
Well, it's called the Andy Dick Incident.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to turn that phrase around.
And what kind of...
if you get a call, Kevin and Bean, we want to talk to you about what? About the Andy Dick Incident. I mean, it's like, that seems to fit. Okay, what did he do this time?
Right.
It's a show at First and Hope.
What
it's a positive thing now.
What kind of show is it? Do you have his guitar?
Well, I take you on a little, it's like he's asleep. I take you on a little journey through my life, whether it's what happened that morning. And once again, it's at First and Hope, American Bistro. Last show. I've been doing it for 2 or 3 months now. This Friday.
Oh. Okay.
First and Hope, I think you have to be there about... This Friday, you have to be there about 8:39. The times change depending
on... Wait, now, is this an L.A. show you're now talking about? Or are you still talking about Salem?
No, this is L.A., but it's the same Salem show. Yeah, and I'm going to be going to Walnut Creek. I'm going to do four cities.
I'm just trying to help you promote your thing. So it's Florida. This Friday night in L.A. at First and
Hope. This is my last one in L.A. Okay. That's why I want people to come.
Why did you need the guitar while you started telling us all that?
Because this is how the show goes.
Oh, okay.
I tell stories. I talk to the audience like I'm talking to you. Usually they don't talk back.
Can we sit back on radio? Enjoy a little bit of this?
Yeah. So basically, here. How many times can I say the word basically this morning?
Once again, always.
1 hour of sleep.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
But I feel pretty awake. I dated this girl once that, she was a 10 from the neck down. you know the girl. You know the type, right? She, maybe her mom laid her down as an infant on a nest of fire ants. And the ants were hungry for her face.
Oh.
And every time this girl and I would sleep together, I would say to her, "Do me a favor and bag your face. Do me a favor and bag your face. Do me a favor and bag your face."
That's nice.
Then there was another girl I dated who, same issue, real good looking body. Not so much in the face department. I don't know if as a child or a teenager she went to blow out the candles on her sweet 16 and her face caught on fire. And the only thing available to put her face out was a rusty bicycle chain. But when I would sleep with her, I would ask her, "Please,
do me a favor and bag your face. Do me a favor and bag your face. Do me a favor and bag your face. Do me a favor and bag your face."
And that's the kind of... Those are the kind of songs we have involved. So, but then there are other... You know,
are a romantic at heart.
Certainly.
That's kind of the long and short of it. There are songs that about sobriety. To me, it's almost like going to a meeting if you come to my show.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
That Bag Your Face song? Do they do that in the meetings?
That was just the, let's wake people up on their drive to work song.
First and Hope. First and Hope American Bistro, which is at 710 West 1st Street, Los Angeles, is where Andy is going to be this Friday night for your final Southern California appearance, right?
Final appearance.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
Broadway, and then it's Broadway back.
Hey, don't laugh.
Hey.
They want me to. What's the guy's name? He did Margaret Cho's Broadway thing and Leguizamo and Sandra Bernhardt.
That'd be pretty cool.
Arnold. Arnold
Schwarzenegger?
No. I can't remember his name. He wants me to do this on Broadway. You Fantastic. Should come and check it out because it's super loose. Like my little brown ring.
Right.
Sorry, can you say that?
Man, it's sort of.
Little brown ring.
We can't play that.
You can't play that anymore?
Well, I don't think
well, then,
so.
Well, stop. So, yeah, I want to get you in trouble, but mostly I want to be able to come back here.
You don't want to have another Andy Dick incident. That's what you're saying.
The only Andy Dick incident that's going to be happening this week is at First and Hope. First and Hope. Bistro. Yeah. See how I turn it into
now,
a
Andy, let me just tell you about us and you, if you don't mind. Just
yeah,
real
please
quickly.
Do, because I
We're
don't know what's
going on.
We
in the office. And Dave said, the King of Mexico said, Andy Dick. And all of us were like, yep, instantly.
Oh,
instantly.
That's sweet.
Because we wanted to have you in to You're sing the back nice your face.
Exactly. Wow. And don't forget to be looking for Freaky Deaky coming out soon. And you wanted to mention again the Netflix streaming of your other movie
I'm
that you
just
wrote,
so excited. But when I found out, it just happened last Tuesday. And when I found out, I couldn't sleep at all that night. Because I don't know if you know, that was, my first movie I wrote and directed. I pulled all my favors. I got Ben Stiller's in there. Wow. Jack Black is in it.
Wow.
You know, James Vanderbeek. And then a bunch of super funny people.
It's called Danny Roan.
Danny Roan, R-O-A-N-E, right. First time director. And you can just press, you just click it, and it just starts playing.
And there it is.
And it, right. That is a musical, by the way. Turns into a musical. Yes.
As we say goodbye, we have an awful lot of people who listen to the Kevin Bean Show who work in the television industry. Andy Dick is funny. He's clean. He's ready to work. He's looking for a sitcom.
I'm
so
ready
if he
to
would
rock
be, if he would be right for you, then you should get in contact with his people or person or frog or whatever he's got.
Do you have a person?
Yeah, Max.
Okay,
yeah,
get a hold of Max. Get a hold of Max and get Andy Dick back on the TV where he belongs.
God
Let's
bless
hear it for
you.
Andy. Thank you so much for coming in.
Nice.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Having bands stop by the studio is fun. It's great to enjoy live music in the morning. Not so great for the bands that have to perform that live music, though. That's what I've learned. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lumineers are here. Wesley, Jeremiah, Nayla. Hi, Hello. You guys. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Your first time here to K-Rock that I know of. It's great to see you. I apologize that it is so early, but how are you feeling?
Pretty peppy.
I can tell. Yeah.
Pretty peppy?
I've been up.
Nayla, you sound awfully peppy. You sound like you're bouncing off the walls.
Yep, you know it.
Two sold-out shows at the Fonda. You're selling out a lot of places on this tour. That has to be a little bit of a surprise, right?
Yeah, definitely a big surprise. We were playing to some pretty empty rooms not very long ago. So yeah.
How long ago?
Maybe 6 months or so.
Yeah.
How empty?
Last 2 years.
More band members on stage than audience.
Than audience?
That's
oh,
rough.
That
it's pretty empty.
So then one of you would take a break and go down and applaud and go back up and play?
Yeah.
Builds character.
That's tough.
Tell Kevin and Bean listeners who maybe don't know much about the Lumineers besides the song they've been hearing on K-Rock a little bit about the history of the band. Is it true that, Nayla, you came in through a Craigslist ad? Because I didn't think anything good ever came out of Craigslist. I thought that was only a recipe to get robbed.
Yeah. No, it's true. They had placed a Craigslist ad that I bravely answered. And it worked out.
Did you think for a second that it would work out, or did you just go, it's worth a try?
Not
Might
really.
As well just give it a shot.
Yeah, I was just kind of bored and looking for something to do, and so.
I don't know. I mean, look, I know Craigslist is the classifieds of the 21st century, but if I were you answering that ad, I would just expect to be duct taped in the back of someone's truck.
Well, I did. We met in the middle of the day, and I let a lot of people know where I was going.
Good. So. Did you bring a knife?
Might have.
If we wanted to kill her, we could have. Instead, we practiced Charlie Boy, and she played the cello. And
it was a basement. It was dark.
Yeah.
Who placed the Craigslist ad that found Nayla?
Jeremiah and me, Wesley.
Okay, and you guys specifically were looking for a cello player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Specifically Nayla. She just didn't know it yet.
tell me why, when you've got two guys and you're looking for a third person for your band, you choose the cello as the one instrument that's missing.
We're very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
Yeah. I think we had just moved from New York, and we were looking for a change in our sound, and as we started making new songs for this record that turned out to be this EP we were making. We heard cello in our heads, so we started putting on a record, but it was really cheesy.
We hated the bass. We hated electric bass, and upright was too big to travel with, so cello seemed like a good fit.
Nice.
It's not something that people are looking for every day either.
Nope.
I'm sure you didn't have to go through 100 different ads on Craigslist.
No.
Celloist wanted.
Yeah.
So when you guys met and personality clicked and musically, obviously it was a good fit as well. Did it take very long from that moment before it started to really gel and you guys thought, hey, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for.
I think it took a little while. I mean, like we said, we played a lot of rooms that weren't exactly packed. But I think we also felt like even in the house shows or the small bars, we got a certain response and we're connecting with people and it made us want to keep doing it. So it kept us going for those times that I think it's exaggerated. We weren't playing in empty rooms until
like 10
last
people.
6 months ago, but it certainly feels like overnight sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you're working your ass off and then everybody goes, hey, you exist.
Yeah.
It must feel like it's overnight. So what's it like now that you have this album that has sold a lot of copies and you're getting a lot of radio play? Do you feel like you're overextended now? Like people are always asking you to do too much? Every day is too busy?
We're pretty busy, yeah.
Yeah, I think someone once told us they'd probably, if you do well, still have to say no more than yes. So we're learning the things that we can do without stretching ourselves too thin.
Right.
And, you know, we have a show tonight, and hopefully the vocal cords hold up.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. You lost your vocal cords one other time.
Yeah, we were at South by Southwest, and we played probably a dozen shows in a three-day span. And we played around 7:30 a.m. to a bunch of people in a big room.
Let me look at the clock. 7:28.
Yeah.
All right, good.
It's lining up just perfectly.
That's good.
I think I blew it out on the first song, and then.
But don't do that because then people tonight will blame us.
But I warmed up this time.
You did, okay.
So that's probably good. Yeah, I was very sick.
All right. Do you need any help on the hose and the haze, or do you guys have that down at this point? Because we do have extra bodies standing around if you need some assistance.
Sure,
if you guys know the song.
I'm not much of a hay guy, but I'm good with hose. You're excellent with hose, guys. That's actually true.
I'll take all the help we can get,
Is it true, Neela, I think it was you who said on an interview that there was some discussion about the ho-hay part of that ho-hay song, that it was like, is this too much? Is this overdoing it? Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, there was a debate about putting the hose and haze in the song.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that, Jerry?
Yeah, I think we were recording it in our little home studio in Denver. We had the hose and haze in it, and then we thought it might be annoying or, you know, if we wanted people to listen to the song again, you know, it might be cool the first time but not cool the second time.
Right.
And it was one of those things that really worked and always killed live. It was sort of our secret weapon. That's what we thought of it, at least. And
so you would just hang, as the show was going along, if you finally needed that big boost, that was the one you went to?
Yeah, if you wanted people to kind of shut up, if you wanted to get in their grill, get in their space, we'd go out into the audience and kind of make people listen, kind of force them, hold them hostage a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes you find that things that work live don't necessarily translate into a studio environment. So once we got it down though, sonically, we thought it sounded great, and we didn't expect it to be a single though, like it's become. I mean, that's certainly a surprise.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Internally, we thought it was a great song, but I don't think any of us thought this, you know, I mean, it resonated with us, and that's all that we really cared about, selfishly.
Interesting.
But it's impressive that where it's gone.
The album is called The Lumineers. It's just called The Lumineers?
Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
Not just. Yeah, it's The Lumineers.
That would have been better, just The Lumineers.
Just The Lumineers. Anytime I see someone who doesn't bother to name their debut album, I think, I don't know. I got questions about these guys, but it's working out for you. The Lumineers is the name of the band. It's the name of the album, and it's how you follow them on Twitter. The website is thelumineers.com. Wesley, Jeremiah, and Neela are all here this morning. You guys are going to go into the next room, and you're going to attempt to sing for us. And I'm very excited, and we thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
K-Rock's Kevin is on the other side of the glass right now with a band called The Lumineers in town for two sold-out shows at the Fonda Theater. Kevin, you helping out here? What are you doing? What's the deal?
I'm on the other side of the glass, so I have to put them on it?
You don't have to put them on the glass,
okay. No. All right.
I don't know. What's the setup like? What's it look like where you are?
There's a band here. There's a bass drum. I see a guitar, and I see a cello.
Okay. Sounds like they have everything they need to make Lumineers music.
They're
ready
to go.
Let's hear what that sounds like.
Live music from The Lumineers.
I've been trying to do it right.
Hey!
I've been living a lonely life.
Hey!
I've been sleeping here instead.
Hey!
I've I've been sleeping in my bed. I've been sleeping in my bed. So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed. Hey, I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. Hey, but I can write a song. I belong with you, you belong with me, my sweetheart. I belong with you, you belong with me, my sweetheart.
Damn. We didn't blow out any voices there. You guys still feeling all right? It sounded great.
Bean wants to know if you guys are feeling all right. They can't hear you, Bean.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Feeling good.
I was worried about them blowing out their voices at the 7:30 a.m. thing, but it sounded like they kept it under control there. That was awesome.
They're feeling good. Another song?
Sure.
Yeah. Lumineers, live music on the world famous K-Rock.
And steal and cheat, beg you from her knees, make you think she means it this time. She'll tear a hole in you, the one you can't repair. But I still love her, I don't read. We did enough. When it got cold, we bundled up. I can't be told, I can't be done. It's better to feel pain than nothing at all. The opposite of love's indifference. Pay attention now, or standing on your porch screaming out, and I won't leave until you come downstairs. So keep your head up, keep your love, keep your head up. My love, your head up, keep your love, keep your head.
Go live music awesome. From the Lumineers.
How about that?
How about that?
They needed that cello. That was a good choice, actually. Wesley, Jeremiah, Nayla in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show. The Lumineers debut album is out now, playing the Fonda. Two sold-out shows tonight and tomorrow night. Thanks, you guys. So great of you to come by.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Amin Show at 725.
Do you love Will Ferrell like we do? Do you love Zach Galifianakis like we do? And by the way, Jason Sudeikis also in this movie. We're talking about The Campaign. You get to see it more than a week early. World premiere, Grauman's Chinese Theater is this Thursday night in Hollywood. If you want to go and see it a week before it opens on Friday the 10th of August, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is for Will Ferrell fans predominantly, and it is not an easy game. That's all I can tell you right now. 1-800-520-106, and we'll take your calls coming up next.
I would like to read an article verbatim. This is what it says. This is not me exaggerating or trying to whip people into a needless frenzy. Bean, I need your gigantic, scary music stab for the end of it, please.
Okay.
Two sentences. Zombie bees are not science fiction. They are real and real.
Two sentences.
I know, but they are real, and then that sentence went on. It's all
oh,
right.
Oh, there's more. All
it
right,
doesn't
let's take it, take it from the top.
Zombie bees.
Too soon?
Are not science fiction. This is happening, people. Yeah. Zombie bees.
We already have enough trouble with the bees.
The bees were dying. I don't know where the zombies are coming from. But
well, they think, Lisa, this may have something to do with the bee collapse, with the loss of honeybees. You know, they've been trying for years to figure out why the honeybees are dying out. They think zombie bees may be part of the problem here.
I guess what happens is little flies lay eggs in the bees, and then the bees die, and then they just wander around the desert.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Just walking around in circles and stuff.
Oh.
That's sad. I don't want to hear about sick bees.
And then these little flies are born, and then they go try and lay their eggs in other bees. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Jeez.
What's happening to the animal world?
There is a website, by the way, called zombiewatch.org, and it's zombie, but the B is spelled like the B, B-E-E, zombiewatch.org. And they say that Southern California, Central and Southern California, and South Dakota are where the zombie bees have been found so far. And, of course, their fear is that it's going to spread along the whole country and then around the world and do even more damage to the bees. So we asked producer Dave who he could line up for us to talk about the zombie bees. And I think, Kevin, if I understand the king correctly, I think we actually have some zombie bees on the line with us.
Oh.
Brain.
You saying brain?
Brain.
Or rain. Yep. I can't tell.
I don't know.
Brain.
Okay.
The country of brain?
What you don't have.
Oh, brain. Wow. Brain. Hey, how dare you?
So you're a zombie bee.
Yeah, how's it going?
How's it going with you? We're fine. How about you?
Not so good.
Not good.
I got a fly inside me.
Yeah.
It's devouring me from the inside out.
Right.
Which is a drag.
It does seem like a bummer.
Yeah.
That's no fun at all.
It takes away my free will and just makes me a zombie.
That's
zombie, right.
Yeah.
So you're basically just wandering around waiting to die and helping to spread the flies to other colonies, right?
I'm not hoping to do that. It's not my will.
Hmm.
My will is has been taken away. I am now a mindless zombie because the fly pupa inside of me is using me for nutrition and controlling my nervous system. Mm.
That seems like that's a bummer. Terrible.
Isn't it amazing how well I understand this?
It really is.
And yet I'm powerless to help myself.
It's ironic.
You're so smart, but you can't do anything about it.
I know. It's horrible. It's horrible to be a zombie.
How long would you reckon you have?
Oh, well, I don't know. I reckon I'll go down to the general store and see if somebody from the Pony Express can tell me, cowboy. What the F? I thought I was the one without the brain.
This is a bee who's sick and dying, yet he's still making fun of us. What's going on here?
I reckon I will, partner.
This is a great time of year if you love the K-Rock music. As we mentioned earlier today, the new Green Day album Uno comes out today. No Doubt's Push and Shove comes out today. And here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving away tickets to go see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater in row number 4. We'll have those for you in a few minutes. And we're also continuing to hook you up to join us next Friday, a week from Friday, at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Black Keys. They are going to be here performing live. They're in town for a couple of shows, and they're stopping by to play with us. And you get to help us interview the band, too. And I think you know, based on the last time we interviewed the Black Keys, we need the help. So we're very much excited about you joining us.
By the way, show up with some questions, people.
Yes.
Don't just think, hey, I get to show up. Show up with some questions. You're supposed to help us. That's the idea behind it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Kanye West for a second. TMZ has reported Kanye West has a sex tape. Oop, not one, but two. Two sex tapes. Apparently, they are being shopped to the highest bidder. The reports are true. Kanye has said, yes, I do have two tapes. Both are pretty long. One's 20 minutes, one's 40 minutes. Show off.
Does he strike you as the kind of guy that lets things out of his possession?
No.
That he's sloppy about stuff like that?
Meaning you think he released it?
Now he gets to tell us he's got a 40-minute video.
Well, that's a good point.
But he doesn't, as we found out when we talked to Dax Holt yesterday from TMZ, he doesn't get any money off of this unless he agrees to let it be released. Look, Kanye West doesn't need bragging rights.
He doesn't need money either.
Well, that's true,
no, but
I guess.
Here's the thing. Is he says they were stolen from his computer is the answer to how people got it. But if he comes out and says it's a 40-minute tape and then doesn't let it get put out, he does get the benefit of having a 40-minute tape.
Win-win.
Right.
That's what I say.
And then nobody has to see it.
By the way, my 40-minute sex tapes involved me paying her, driving her home, going to 7-Eleven on the way back to my house. Not 40 minutes of what people come to see.
Making sure her mom's home so she can get in the house.
You bring up a good point, though, Lisa, which is how do all of these tapes get out? Doesn't it seem like there have been 10 celebrity sex tapes in the last 3 years? I mean, it just seems like they can't all – not everybody in the world is getting hacked all the time always, right?
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think everybody in the world is getting hacked all the time always. I do
really?
Think that. Yes. Don't you think that's a huge problem, I would imagine?
It is, but I mean, do 100% of the people getting hacked have a sex tape? It sure seems like they're a lot. Like, how are they all getting out? You would think that a sex – if I had a sex tape and think – Jesus, I don't.
We well, all
if I,
do.
If I did, though, that ish would be locked down. Like, that would not be in a place where people could get it.
Yeah, I totally
I would break into the house and make sure it got out.
I mean, I would think that you would take more care with hiding a sex tape than you would your ATM pin or your tax returns
of course,
or your social security.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. And that's why we want to do this topic on the program today. And I don't know that we've ever done this before. We've done, you know, you accidentally tweeted a booby picture to your father-in-law. We've done topics like that before. But I want to talk to people who had a sex tape that was discovered by somebody in your life. Maybe it was your current boyfriend or girlfriend and it was an older sex tape. Maybe it was coworkers. You had it on your office at work and IT had to do some, you know, some going through the computer system and they found it. Maybe you brought, you know, took your laptop into the to the Geek Squad at Best Buy and your sex tape got out that way. Your parents were snooping through your stuff. Maybe they found your
parents.
Sex tape. Yeah,
oh,
that would be a
parents.
About as bad as it gets, right?
Oh, parents.
I don't know if we have those people, but I suspect
we
that
have our, those people.
Our crowd probably is making sex tapes.
Correct.
And they're probably not 100% keeping them safe and secure. So we want to hear from you if you have ever had an experience with a sex tape that has gotten loose on you. And we want to find out who the person was that found it. And what the reaction was to your sex tape.
And what they did with it. Some of
them. And what they did with it is a great point, too.
Some of them would, you know, distribute. Mm-hmm. Others would just hold it over your head for the rest of their life. Who knows?
1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number here at K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. I mean, I was thinking, like at K-Rock, for instance, let's just say you were on a computer and you found, you know, Doc or Newsman's sex tape or something like that. You would, and he certainly has them. You would never stop showing that to other people at work, right? I mean, that would be the perfect example of what you do with it. You would bring it up on your computer, and you would invite every single person in the building to come in and watch it, right?
Absolutely, for the rest of life.
So that would be a perfect, that'd be the great kind of story that we want to hear. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one before the break just real quick. Let's get Mark on the air, and then we'll come back and take everybody else. Mark is first victim up. Mark, what happened, dude?
Well, I had a sex tape on my computer laptop, which I keep with me.
Yep.
And my boss was updating it for me, the software.
Yep.
And he had mentioned that he did see something on there that shouldn't have been on there, which was my personal sex tape.
And this was a work computer, and that's why he was saying that?
Yes.
Why was it on your work computer?
Oh, because I don't have a laptop. I just have my work computer. That's it.
Ah. Did he, I mean, was there any kind of repercussions other than that? Were you warned?
Just him making a joke about it.
Oh, that's the best. He called you into his office one-on-one?
Exactly.
And then he said, listen, Mark.
Wow, was that necessary?
I'm asking.
All right. Here's the question I have for you, Mark, and we do thank you for calling and being our first up on this topic. Was the chick in the sex tape hot?
Yes, she was my wife.
then you're feeling pretty good about this news getting out then, right? You're all right with that.
But the funny thing is my wife works with me also.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, now everyone in the office knows you guys have a sex tape. Well done.
Thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Somebody found a video of you having sex, and it wasn't necessarily who you intended. We'll take your call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Brandon and Ronnie from The Killers join us in the 9 o'clock hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Our friend Adam Carolla in minutes. Right now, though, we're talking about your sex tape got out. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Kanye West is going through this right now with his sex tapes. Who knows who the hell has them? Listen to this before we go back to the calls. This is from Kenneth. Hey, Kevin and Bean, for Christmas, my wife and I decided to take a bunch of old family VHS tapes and have them put on DVD and make a bunch of copies to give to everyone on our Christmas list.
Without even looking at them?
Well, you can guess, we left one of our special VHS tapes in the box that we gave to the company. Well, we did not watch it before giving a copy to nearly every one of our family and extended family. Right there on the DVD menu was Xmas 88, Summer 93, Sex Scene, Xmas 95. Damn, says
Kenneth. I'd love to get a copy of that.
That's bad surprise right there. All right, let's go to Allison now, line 8, to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Allison, you little minx.
Hi. Okay, what happened? My ex-fiance was really freaky, and we had sex on webcam. Well, a third party recorded it and put it on an amateur porn site, and at like 3 o'clock in the morning, a couple months later, someone from my high school called me and was like, hey, you have a sex tape, and they sent me the link, and from then, it spread like wildfire. Everybody I went to high school with saw it. It was screened at parties. It was passed on to everyone. It was awful.
So, wait, so you guys thought you were having private sexy time on a webcam. You didn't know that it was being hacked and recorded by somebody else at the same time?
Yeah, it was like a private webcam, like, for people to go in and watch, and people were recording it. It was awful.
But did you look good?
Oh, I looked great. I mean, it's a funny joke now, but gosh.
Yeah, you weren't pleased at the time, that's for sure.
No.
Thanks for the call, Allison. Appreciate that. Let's go to Gabby. Gabby's on line 7. Hi, Gabby. Thanks for calling the Kevin to be.
To the guy who I was dating. I sent him the video. And then when I came back home, a couple months later, my mom and my little brother came to visit. My little brother asked to borrow my phone.
Wait. How young was little brother?
8 years old.
Eight.
He was 8 and I was 22.
All right.
Well, look, he's got to learn it sometime.
Yeah, and at that point, he was getting into everything. So he went through my phone and more than just games and saw the video. Didn't quite understand and showed my sister, who was 23 when I was 22. So she made so much fun of me for a very long time.
Of course. I hope she still is.
That's fantastic. Man. Thank you for the call. Isn't it weird that, I mean, he's 8, so the first exposure he ever has to anything like that is his big sister.
Yeah.
He's not scarred for life. Oh. Let's go to John now. John's on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, love our listeners. Thank you very much for calling and sharing your stories on this. Hi, John.
Hi, hi. How's it going?
Good. What happened?
So I was this happened a number of years ago. I had borrowed my mother's video camera for like a car show event or something like that, and then my girlfriend and I had taken it and made a sex tape with it that night or the next night or something like that. And then I forgot about it and left the tape in the camera.
Wait a minute. You borrowed the camera from your mom, made a sex tape, and forgot that you made a sex tape and gave it back to her?
Well, I didn't forget. I forgot to take the tape out and keep the tape.
Right.
So,
okay.
So I gave the camera back to my mom and completely didn't even think about it. And then about a month or two later, my brother contacts me. We're actually over at my brother's house. And he tells me that he borrowed my mom's video camera to take a tape of an event. And he told me that there was a sex tape, and I didn't believe him. I'm like, no way, because I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it. And he started telling me in front of all my friends in graphic detail.
Sweet.
I asked him for the tape back. He's never given it back, and to this day, he holds over my head. And I was,
of course, he's doing
as well. He should
absolutely doing the right thing. You should be sending him a check for $1,000 a year, my friend, just to keep that tape quiet. That's awesome. Thank you. All right, we do have time for one more, Kevin. Which one do you like? You want to go to Harry or Chris? Let's go to Harry then. Harry's on line 5. Nothing better than the whole family seeing your sex tape. Hi, Harry. You get the final word on this one. What happened?
Well, it was here a few years back. Had a tapes of my daughter when she was a baby. And so we decided to send a bunch of tapes to my family at the time when I lived in Montana. And so it was my dad, my stepmom, brothers, sisters, the whole family there watching this
wow.
tape of my daughter. And there comes up in the middle of this tape, this sex scene between me and my now ex-wife. And I got a call from my dad, and he goes, "Did you watch the tape?" And I said, "Yeah, I've watched it tons of times." And he goes, "No, the tape."
And I said, "Oh." Look, just tell him that you thought they might like to see when the baby was conceived, too. That's all. It's just context. It's all part of the bigger picture.
Nice job, dumbass.
Our old friend Petros Papadakis, a former USC Trojan himself, is going to comment on the latest suspension in the NFL. I think it was the 9th guy who's been suspended for using Adderall in the NFL yesterday. This is just turning into an epidemic in that league. So we'll talk about why players are using that and how it helps them coming up in a few minutes. We'll also talk about the Grammy nominations from last night. Danny Way on the program next hour. And Ralph recaps Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 27 from the great R. Kelly. It's all on the way.
We have been taking a look at top tens of the year, and it's time to talk about the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBane.com. You can see the best 10, the top 10 videos of the year from 2012. Well, there's actually more than 10 because Kate Upton is in the list, and we couldn't decide between the 3 or 4 of hers that we put up.
So that's all like one.
So they're all a tie. We just put all those up, including Kate Upton does Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy.
Take it away, Kate. All right.
That's it? That's all you guys did?
She does a pretty good little dance. I don't know if you've seen that video or not, but it's worth it.
I would like to say that it is that's my number one video of the whole year. Look, there are a lot of videos that we talked about on the Internet Roundup in 2012. The Cat Daddy dance is the greatest one of all,
it's
right?
The greatest one of all time.
It's the one that rules them all.
Yeah. Of all time, though. I'm saying best thing on the internet ever.
It might be. I think it might be, yeah.
Hot Girls Have Problems, too, is another one of the top 10. These two girls in their limo singing about their troubles.
Oh, yeah. Hot girls, we have problems, too. We're just like you.
Except we're hot.
See, this is why recaps are great. This is why the end of the year comes around. You go, oh, this is fun, because I had completely already forgotten about Hot Girls Have Problems, too. Already had completely. It didn't have the staying power of some of the other videos, but it was awesome at the time, and it was kind of fun to revisit.
The next one is a highway prank, and again, we're talking about the top 10 Internet Roundup videos. You can go to KevinandBean.com. The highway prank, this is really bizarre because there's a tow truck towing a giant semi. And it's facing backwards. And the guy's going to scare his wife. His wife is sleeping in the seat next to him. He's driving behind the semi that looks like it's coming right at them. So he wakes her up and says, "Wake up! We're about to get killed!" And she screams.
Evil.
And
the kids are in the back.
They are. And they love it, though. But watch. But listen to him after she wakes up. His explanation of why it is he decided this needed to be done.
Okay. So there's a truck getting towed. And it looks like it's coming at us. And my wife's asleep. So we're going to see if we can scare her.
Babe, wake up. There's a truck coming.
That was...
I'm sorry, it was funny.
I'm sorry, it was funny.
Now, when that video came out and we discussed it at the time, Lisa, you determined dick move, right? Like, never, ever, ever do that to someone?
Never.
Oh, please.
My
even
heart
though
would
they're only,
stop.
Even though they're only terrified for like 3 seconds.
No.
That you don't even see the comedy afterwards.
Oh, no. Lisa, that's fair game.
No.
Oh, please.
I think I'm going to die. That's not a prank.
But there's no real danger. That's You're not going to die.
Yeah, but I thought I had that.
It's a good thing I'm not married to you.
It is, isn't it?
Really good for Lisa.
How many times have you thought that?
Every day.
All right, so that's the highway prank. Then we got the creepiest Justin Bieber fan. This is the girl with the buggy eyes.
Oh, right, right, right.
She's a strange, strange one. And she's doing her cover of If I Was Your Boyfriend.
Right, yeah.
And she says, If I Was Your Girlfriend.
If I was your girlfriend, I'd never let you leave without a small recording device taped under your sleeve.
It was really well done, but the scary eyes are what sold it for me. I mean... If you look at her, you go, I don't want any part of that.
She's a very convincing stalker.
Yes.
I'm not sure she's acting.
Top 10 Internet Roundup videos of the year. Meet Sweet Brown. You remember this woman? She's the woman that was interviewed after there was a fire in
yes.
an apartment complex or something. And she's one of these people like, what was the guy's name last year, the year before?
Where
the
Yeah. Antoine.
Yeah, Antoine Dodson. Yeah.
Dodson, yeah. Who's, yeah, she's that kind of guy.
Who's such. She is that kind of guy. who's such an interesting person that it doesn't matter what they're talking about. You just want to hear her talk.
I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That might be the part you remember right there.
I love her.
Ain't nobody got time for that. She's the best. And then there's an auto-tune remix of that, of course. Meet Sweet Brown auto-tune remix.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
There you go.
Awesome.
I like it.
KevinAbean.com, top 10 internet roundup videos. Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis debate children.
Anything they do is great.
This was so funny. They were talking about the campaign, and there were three kids, and it was kind of set up like a debate, and they were just awesome.
What is a picture of my balls?
Okay, there's no need to. Don't get a shot of that. Don't show the balls shot. Because those are actually fruit.
Oh, they're fruit, all right.
No, it's not.
It's lady's favorite fruit.
It
comes in season all year long.
That's one of the funniest things that's ever been on Funny or Die. All the shouting in the newsroom. I don't know if you watch.
That's a loud show.
If you watch the newsroom on, is it HBO?
Yes.
HBO, the great Aaron Sorkin created it, right?
It's a good show, but there is a tremendous amount of shouting.
Did you just make up statements for somebody we had live on our air? Sandra Bernhardt, you idiot.
Oh, what the hell does it matter?
F*** you.
Eat me.
So there's a lot of that going on.
That's great.
The next one is I think it's Russian, the guy who has the band that jumps in the pool that's frozen over.
Oh, yes.
The frozen pool. This guy decides that he wants to get down into his bathing suit or underwear and gets a running start and tries to do a cannonball so that he will break through the frozen pool.
He's a very thin layer of ice.
It turns out it's not a very thin layer of ice and it's not going to break.
My new band is called Seaskill.
And he loses his breath as you do when you hit something that hard.
Man.
Yeah, it was just like diving into concrete.
Yes.
I mean, there was no give, and I think he was very surprised by that.
And the rest of the video is the guy who's videotaping laughing. And then him laughing and trying to crawl back off the ice. It's fantastic. Of course, this was the year. I mean, this is the year that the record was broken for the most views for an internet video. And, of course, it's Psy with Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Biggest video of all time, ever.
Of course.
And then Mike Realm did a remix, which we love, involving Honey Boo Boo and Gangnam Style, called Honey Boo Boo Style.
Honey Boo Boo. Honey Boo Boo
Style. You guys are genius.
Yeah. This is quite a batch of videos right here. It was a good year, 24.
Yeah, they're all together. And then there's also a roundup mashup that I did, a video that has kind of most of them in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all one song. And if you don't have time to watch all of the other ones, you can check out my remix of the Internet Roundup 2010. Or 2012. Either year.
Whichever year you want to take a look at.
Hair run.
Hair road.
Hair run.
Hairline.
Will Ferrell, Zach, Skyla, Fine Nice.
Thank you, Janice.
It's Ted Parker.
Ted Parker.
It ain't for me, the line's still ripped. Take it away, boy.
Now and then we like to play one guitar together.
Anyway, that's a remix that you can check out online as well. All of these videos together in one place.
Awesome.
KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean, later now. Rambo.
Is Thursday the best day of the week in your house, Kevin, because
yes.
of Swamp People?
Yes, sir.
Thursday's at 9 on the History Channel, and that includes tonight an all-new episode of Swamp People. We could not be more excited to welcome the king of the Swamp People to the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen, Troy Landry.
Yeah!
Joins us here
good
on the program.
Morning, good morning.
How are you, Troy?
I'm doing good, and y'all?
Very good, and y'all?
We've never had the opportunity to talk to a king on the show before, so this is kind of a thrill for us.
Well, good. Thank you all for having me on, man.
No problem. We were playing some highlights of the show because you guys hunt alligators, and it seems to me like there are so... It seems like every other animal is safer to hunt because you can do it from a distance. You hunt bears, you can do it with a gun. But you guys hunt alligators in those little boats, and they're bigger than the boats sometime. And it just seems like the worst gig ever.
Oh, yeah, and believe me, they're trying to eat us. They would eat us in a heartbeat if we gave them half the chance.
They kill you, right. So here's the beginning of alligator season on Swamp People.
The sun rises on the first day of alligator season. It's the day King of the Swamp Troy Landry has been waiting a whole year for.
Boy, look how pretty. Oh, it makes me feel like singing. Sun's coming up. I got cakes on the griddle. Thank God I'm a swamp man.
That's our Troy right there.
but Troy, help me out. Help me understand this, sir. You seem like
a part out.
You seem like a smart guy. You're obviously a motivated guy, a strong guy. There are a lot of things you could do. Why do you choose the most dangerous profession in all of Louisiana?
Well, it's not something we chose to do. It's something we were raised doing. I mean, when I finished school or whatever, I didn't decide, oh, I'm going to be an alligator hunter. It's something we've done all our life growing up. My daddy never was a big alligator hunter, but he was a commercial fisherman. He lived off the bayous. And, I'm following in his footsteps. My uncles were alligator hunters and my grandpa. It's just something we were raised doing. You know what I'm saying?
But let me tell
you, I went to college to be an alligator hunter.
Right, but let me follow that up with, if you get a certain amount of success, at some point a lot of people decide, hey, too much, hazard, not having enough fun, would rather move someplace else. And what they'll do is they'll move their family to another place where they can go to a restaurant and order alligator, and it's not quite so dangerous.
Oh, yeah, you're right, and it's very dangerous. So I don't know if you can realize that just by watching the show, but it's very, very dangerous. It's a lot of hard work. It stinks like hell. it's a tough job, but somebody got to do it, and,
but you can
I'm
tell,
not afraid of hard work.
You can tell by that song that you love it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not afraid of hard work. I've worked hard my whole life, and... it's something we do, something we just was raised doing, and I just kept doing it.
Now, alligator season is only 30 days, right? Just 30 days each year.
Yes, sir. And the wild season is the month of September.
And you're trying to get 400 alligators in 30 days.
Yep. We wound up with, when the season started this year, we had 430-something tags, and when it was all said and done, we wound up with over 530 of them.
What?
Wow. That's
amazing. We filled them all in 30 days. And besides that, I am the nuisance hunter for three parishes at home, which is similar to your counties. And we caught another 75 or 80 nuisance alligators this summer.
Nuisance alligators? Those are the ones that threaten people?
Yeah, the ones that come in people's yards,
right,
or close to their camps, or... they eat their pets and chase their kids, and they call wildlife officials or they call the sheriff's office.
See, that's that's where I draw the line. When I look out back and one of my kids is running away from an alligator, that's where I go, hey, time to move.
hey, Troy, I don't know very much about alligators, but why are there so many of them? Do they have huge litters when they give birth?
Well, they do, but the reason... A lot of people might not know this, but in the late 60s and early 70s, alligators, the American alligator was placed on the endangered species. They were hunted to almost extinction. When my dad and my grandpa and all used to hunt them, they'd hunt them for meat, and they wasn't regulated. You could hunt them almost like you wanted. They didn't have any more. When I was growing up, we didn't have any alligators.
Right.
It was hard to find an alligator.
And now there's millions and millions?
And they took them off the endangered species. There's very strict regulation that they let us hunt them, but there's very strict regulation. Federal laws protecting them. And now we harvest what they feel is the excess. They keep a very healthy population, and depending on how well they raised and how many eggs hatch, that's how they determine how many they're going to let us catch every September.
Now, how did you become the king of the swamp? Was there a vote? How does that work?
No, let me tell you, you don't just wake up one day. Like some of them alligator hunters out there, they want to be the king of the swamp so bad they can taste it.
Right.
And it's not something you wake up and you decide, oh, I'm going to be the king of the swamp today. It's not just pertaining to alligators. No matter what I do, when I fish catfish, when I fish crawfish, when I shrimp, when I fish alligators, I'm always in the top three. If not the number one fisherman in the area for that time of the year, I'm in the top three.
I see. So he's earned the title, is what he's saying.
You get a reputation, and it follows you everywhere you go. And then since swamp people came out, it's like, oh, my God, I used to always be in the top three, but now I'm number one at everything.
Now you're the king.
So I got to keep on. I got to live up to all of that.
That's right. We are in our remaining moments with Troy Landry here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the series that he appears on called Swamp People that airs Thursday nights at 9 o'clock on the History Channel. Do you have a lot of female admirers, Troy? Are there alligator hunter groupies?
Yes, I do. I have my boys and I do appearances. We travel the country from the East Coast to the West doing appearances lately, and we have so many fans that come out to see us. It's unbelievable. Women, men, little kids, I mean, you name it, they love us.
That's got to be weird because you spent your life pretty much alone out there with just your family, and then now all of a sudden everybody knows who you are.
It's been a drastic change for us. You know, I used to live in the woods. My wife was always fussing me. Sometimes I'd stay in the woods for a week at a time before coming out. And my wife was always raising hell that
sure.
I spent too much time in the woods. And now I'm everywhere but the woods. I can't get to the woods.
But you're the king, so off with her head. Right?
That's
Yeah. And you know, it's not going to last forever. So we're going to do all we can and make it. I take advantage of it and make the most opportunities we can while it's hot. And when it's all going to go away, Charlie Andrew's going to go back to the swamp and do what he always done before.
I got you.
All right, last question for you, Troy, and thank you very much for the time. Is this something you would like to see your kids follow in your footsteps and also be alligator hunters?
Oh, yeah. You know, my kids love it. I'm bringing my little grandkids with me right now. They love it. My oldest granddaughter's 9. And she loves it, to come in the boat with her grandpa and hunt alligators. She killed her first deer this year. It's something I want to see them do and pass it down to them, because I'm getting too old to catch all them big alligators.
Your family is exactly like mine. I got to tell you that, Troy. No different.
Troy, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with swamp
all
people.
Right.
Don't get eaten, all right?
Tell everybody hello on y'all in.
We will. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Henry Rollins this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, punk legend with the band Black Flag, one of the smartest guys we know. He joins us talking about his new TV show, plus Dr. Drew in minutes coming up on K-Rock as well. I know you hate the royal family, Kevin.
The queen sucks balls.
The queen is awesome, and I admire her very much. She's a wonderful lady. But imagine being her son, and you know that one day you get to be king when mom dies. And mom refuses to die. Mom just continues to live and
you
go on
and
on.
You
have
her taken out. You ever
and now
out?
You're 60-something, and you're still waiting around for your job to begin. You've never had a job. Now you're waiting for your job to begin, but mom won't die. So you have all this time on your hands. So you just look for ways to fill your days. That's what Prince Charles' life is like. He was last year. He went out and started breakdancing with some kids. That was a big YouTube sensation. Last week, he shows up at a TV station in Scotland, and they have him doing the weather. Now, this is the guy who's going to be the king
the
of
hell?
England. They have him on the TV doing the weather. I think we have a little bit of that now.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week. This afternoon, it'll be cold, wet, and windy across most of Scotland. We're under the influence of low pressure.
That's the future king of England with the weather on the TV.
We're under the influence of low pressure.
So now you're making fun of him because he has an accent, as millions of people in that country do, by the way. Now he's in Canada. And he's
know idiots.
He's touring the nation in celebration of his mom's 60 years on the throne, by the way. She's been queen for 60 years this
year. That must just burn his chops.
It has to, right? So he's in Canada just basically looking for stuff to do, and I guess he's decided he's going to be a DJ. Apparently, he hooked up with this DJ, and they're teaching him how to scratch, and he's on the ones and twos.
Nobody is less a DJ than
Prince
Charles.
Well, you know, look at him and go, here's a guy who automatically, you know, has the rhythm, but we wanted
he's
to find out.
Bring the fun.
We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave if he could line up Prince Charles, and sure enough, we've got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Your Highness. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. Congratulations on all your new careers, your breakdancing and your weathercasting, and now you're DJing.
Yes, one likes to stretch a bit. One likes to learn new challenges, new skills.
Is it possible that becoming a DJ is stretching a little too far for you?
I don't
you?
Believe so. I've always had a knack for the wheels of steel.
You have.
I've just been a natural at turntablism, and I believe my crab scratch and phaser scratch would be on compare.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I guess that proves your point. This is more your area than mine, I guess.
Well, give me a little example.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Is that you, Prince Charles?
That's me.
Wow.
That's pretty funky.
Yeah, I would not have expected that at all.
Yeah. I'm pretty bitching.
It's weird because in this video that surfaced, you look like you've never seen a pair of turntables before as the DJ is trying to explain to you how they work.
Yes, well, that was a few days ago.
Oh, now you've learned it completely?
Yes, I've picked it up rather quickly.
Hmm. You're fast learner. Gotcha.
And now the bitches be crazy about me. I got mad bitches.
But don't you have mad bitches because you're going to be the king someday?
Well, that doesn't hurt. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's very attractive to women knowing that potentially they could be a queen someday.
Sure.
Right.
But and I like to think it's because of my mad skills and the ones and twos. Prince
Mike
Cascade in the house, y'all.
You need some mic work.
Yeah.
It does seem like you should be able to hire a good hype man or something to go with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting Harry one of the other princes to do that for me.
You don't know the other princes?
my other kid.
William, I think. Is it William?
Louis.
There's no
I'm
Louis.
Pretty sure it's William.
Alan?
Nope. It's William. It's William and Harry.
Ferdinand.
I think.
Yeah, you don't spend a lot of time with your own kids, do you there, Prince?
Craig.
You don't have Craig.
Prince Craig?
Nope.
Nope, it's
not Grange.
Hey, it's definitely not Grange. I know that. Hey, are you still married to that old lady?
Camilla, are you talking about
yes,
Camilla?
Yes, Camilla, yes, your wife.
Oh, she's around somewhere. I believe she's in the stables eating her hay.
Yes, that sounds about right. So.
I don't need her now. I've got mad bitches. I don't know if I've mentioned it or not, but I have mad bitches.
You did mention that because of your DJ skills.
Because of my wheels of steel and my ones and twos.
You're right.
Do you have a DJ name, Prince Charles?
Yes, DJ Bad Teeth.
I like it.
As you know, all this week here on World Famous K-Rock, we are hooking you up with Jack White tickets. He is phenomenal live. You will have a great time when you go see him at the Shrine on either August 10th or the 11th, and then you're also qualified for the grand prize drawing. We do Friday for K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. Stop number 5, Jack White again, this time at the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans. Kevin, I can't believe you're not going to be there.
New Orleans is so great.
Jack White, Green Day, Skrillex, and 80 other bands at the Voodoo Experience. Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up.
I was so happy the other day when Omar told us his story about how he had an escape plan from work. Because I've always had an escape plan from my house in case I needed to run from the cops. And I always thought, like, I'm the only one that I know that feels that way.
Now, let me ask you about that. And, Omar, I want to get to your escape plan, your elaborate escape plan in a moment here.
Yeah.
But you too, Omar and Kevin, what is going on where you say if you come home and you see a police car in front of your house, you keep driving? What is that about? Because my instinct would be, my God, right?
No, you call and you say, what's happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but my instinct would be, I want to find out what's going on at my house. What's the problem here? I would stop immediately and talk to the police
officer. But that's because you don't think the problem is you.
Exactly.
Because the problem isn't him.
We've always been involved in, like, shady things. We don't know. There's a list of things that it could be.
You just walk the line, and I haven't really... I'm not a terrible person, but I do like to have a little fun, and I occasionally have an adult beverage.
Right.
Not often. But every time I see a police car, I do think, what did I do? And I start going back through the Rolodex.
Same
and
here.
I've got parks, and I've got trees to hide behind. I've got a whole escape route. So the other day we were talking after the meeting, and Omar started to tell us about his escape route.
Oh, yeah.
From work that involved the sewer.
Yeah. This is about 10 years ago. I was involved in a lot of shady business. Okay? Drugs.
Wow. Could you be more vague?
And it was one of these things where...
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
It got a little out of control, and I got a little greedy and started dealing with people I didn't know.
You should be watching Breaking Bad, man. That'll break you of all those habits.
You had more of a reason
to... exactly. So it only went on for a couple of months, but I thought... I used to work graveyard at Denny's.
Okay.
And I thought, man, if the cops ever showed up, they would show up here. At work, and I had this elaborate escape plan. I used to intentionally work the back section of the restaurant because there was a fire escape.
Are you kidding?
No. Okay. So, and then that
every shift he would get this.
That was my station, and nobody else wanted that station because all the college kids would want to go sit in the back. I didn't care. Because it was right by the exit.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you had or have an escape plan. Because Bean can't get his head around the fact that you do.
I can't. I don't understand this at all.
Okay. So, Omar, you're in the back on
purpose. And I knew if the PD, LAPD, would come in, I would park. There was an auto zone right next to it. I would park my car right next to the auto zone. So I would be out and in my car within like 5 seconds.
You are killing me.
Did you time it?
Yeah, totally. And I was driving a 1987 old hoopty Honda, so I knew I wasn't going to go on a high-speed chase because they would totally catch me.
It would be OJ. It would be the low-speed chase.
That's exactly what it would be. But there was a freeway overpass like half a block from the restaurant. So there was a place where I could ditch my car, and there was a big enough opening to get into the sewer. That would be sewer time for me.
No.
I would ditch my car right.
He was
exactly.
serious. He was serious.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Did you do this every time cops came just to eat?
That's what I was asking.
Well, I was like, I'd always like stand by the door and see what was happening, and then they would sit down, and I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. They're not here for me.
They're not showing pictures
around. Yeah, but I mean, if the S ever hit the fan, it was sewer time.
Wow.
Again, we're taking your calls with your escape plans here on the Kevin and Bean Show today at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. So what was the long-term plan once you ditch your car and now you're in a sewer 2 miles from work? What
that
do you
was
do
my
then?
Question. Nope. Are you just going to live there forever?
No, there was no plan, dude. I was just going to go.
People?
I would just say it was going to be me and the sewer people, and I would probably called a buddy to pick me up or something, but I had no real plan. But now I think, how some sewers lead to nowhere?
Yeah.
How funny it would be if I went down the sewer and I was just stuck down there,
That would be awesome.
I didn't think, things through.
Did you ever try to see how it would be going down there?
No.
You never tested it?
No. It was way scary. It was way scary. Getting back
out would be really difficult.
Yeah.
It was in the event of an actual Omar emergency you were going to go there, but otherwise, no.
100%.
Now, did you hide, did you have a care package of clothes and food and things like that somewhere that you could pick up if you couldn't go back to your house?
No, dude, I was on so many drugs. I didn't think that far
not
ahead.
Even in your trunk or anything?
Yeah, no,
you can't live down there among the sewer people without any supplies.
I wish I would have thought of that. I thought I was going to run into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and hang with them and eat some pizza.
All right, let's take Jeff. Let's do one before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Jeff is on line one. He is going to share with us his escape plan. Apparently, he has also thought this through. He's one of Omar's people. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
So, in case you have to get away from the police, what do you do?
I have an entrance in my closet that goes down to a crawl space underneath the house.
Sweet.
That no one knows about, and it's kind of hidden.
Was it there when you got there? Did you build it?
It wasn't there. There was a big one, and I moved it to a different side of the house where you wouldn't normally look.
You did that on purpose.
And then took carpet remnants, put it over it, and nice. Then glued the carpet to it so
Love
that way
it.
That if I lifted
awesome.
It up, it would come up with it, and then when I went under, it would close and it wouldn't look like anyone was under it.
Why?
So your plan is in my own house now.
Yeah. When the police arrive and you see them out in the driveway, you just hide yourself in the crawl space and you just stay in there until they leave. That's the reason you have the crawl space.
Well, it's there just in case something happens. I mean, that's not the plan. It's not
That's the plan.
You know, that's not something I want to happen, but I mean, if something does happen, I have an escape route or a hiding
hey,
place.
It's nothing that
Omar North Tower
wanted either, but we had a plan.
And by the way, not to defend Jeff, because I'm sure he's crazy and involved in a lot of illegal stuff like you guys, but who knows? Somebody breaks into his house to rob it. That's not a bad thing to have as a place to hide.
Yeah, crawls underneath and his wife's fighting off the robber.
No, I'm just saying it's nice to have a place to hide. I can understand that. But is there anything you should
comes.
Or zombie apocalypse? Is right, there anything true. You are currently worried about that the police might be visiting you at home about?
Currently, no. You know, I used to be a bad kid.
See, but right. You never lose that mindset.
No,
that
that's
mindset.
Right, exactly.
When I see a cop, I go, "Oh no, what did I do?"
Because also. Sometimes, like, without thinking, I'll do something kind of illegal-ish.
Right, you know, that's my thing.
Exactly. It's, yeah. like, illegal-ish. It's like
great.
Borderline. Exactly.
It's great.
You know, but the cops could come down and, you know, investigate you. You know, I always have that in behind my head.
And by the way, it's not just me. We had one time, thank you for the call, Jeff. One time, the police, it was a Sunday morning, and the police had their guns drawn and were coming up the sides of our house.
Oh, that's
Dude.
Right. That's right.
And immediately my wife turned to me and said, "What did you do?" And I had already asked myself that. And it was our fax machine was dialing 911 or something because it was raining. But So nothing had happened. But I was going through everything in the last, you know, couple of months.
Yeah, it's not fun.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you're our people and you've got your escape route planned, give us a call.
The world's worst national anthem. I think that's accurate, by the way. If you haven't heard it yet, stick around. She's 11, and I still want to kick her in the teeth. Ralph's got the showbiz beat also on the way on the
Maybe
Kevin
you need an escape route.
And usually kids aren't fair game, but in this case, she deserves it. Yes, we're talking about escape routes today. We found out that our man Kevin and Omar, who works here on the Kevin DeBean Show, both have a plan in the event the police show up. They have a place to hide or a route to get out. You have a whole route to get out of your neighborhood, too,
Yeah, the
right?
whole neighborhood, yeah.
Like, you know exactly whether you're driving or walking. You know which direction you're going.
There's some fields that I know that are great that have trees. There's no way they could find. First,
awesome.
The house across the street, they got bushes for days. Nice. And I'm good there for a full 24 hours.
All right. Let's take Mark. He's on line two. And please, you call us at 1-800-520-1067. But if you have your escape plan, you know where you're going when the S goes down, as Omar so eloquently put it. Mark, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, you guys? How you guys doing today?
Yeah, this Good. Guy's got an escape plan, I guarantee you. All right, tell us about your escape plan.
Okay, so I work in this trucking company called IWI, and where I work, there's a basement that leads down, and then, like, if you keep going down that basement, it goes up into the street.
Oh,
and
okay.
And from there, I could just go, like, a little bit more down where my friend lives, pick up some stuff that I have left there, and just...
Hey, Mark, can I save you some time?
Yeah.
You're not going to get away.
Doubting Mark's well-thought-out plan?
I'm just saying, Mark's not going
to pick up some stuff.
He's not going to
left there.
He's not going anywhere.
But I do love
He's
going
to be surrounded before he thinks, hey, I need to hit the road.
He'll already be in handcuffs before he realizes the police have run. But, Mark, let me ask you this. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying, because this sounds cool. This basement deal that comes out down the street, so you have a way to leave your building without going through the floor level out in and out the building, right? So people can't even see you if they're sitting out front, right?
Right, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a pretty... Kevin, you should get those guys who build those tunnels into Mexico
I
to
should.
Move drugs. You should get those guys to build you a tunnel under your house.
That's a long-ass tunnel, though.
Yes.
All the way to Mexico?
No, it doesn't have to go to Mexico.
It'll take three lifetimes. To Vegas,
you,
good idea, Mark.
Yeah, to Vegas is the best idea. All right, let's go to Oscar now. Oscar is on line five. He is a police officer, so let's see what kind of thought he has given this. Hi, Oscar. Welcome.
How's it going, guys?
Hi there.
Oscar, you're a cop now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm a police officer.
All right. And you have an escape plan. Why?
Well, I've arrested some people that probably don't like me, and they move large quantities of narcotics.
Oh, I see. So it's your own safety.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've got weapons stashed all over the house. I've got an AK in one bathroom. I've got several guns in the kitchen. Got a bullwhip in the living room.
Bullwhip?
Whoa. A bullwhip.
Oh, that's, you know, just in case I got a good day, too.
But, I mean,
by the way, the description of your apartment sounds exactly like the Aurora, Colorado shooter at this point. You know that, right?
Yeah, I've heard that. But if you talk to a bunch of other officers, that's how our houses sound like.
Really, just all of you that do the super dangerous work, you have to be ready at all times for retaliation.
Yeah.
But the bullwhip, that's not going to do much good for you. I'm worried about
unless
that.
You're on the other end of that, Kevin. You don't want to be hit with a bullwhip. I saw the Indiana Jones movies. Come on.
Are you good with a bullwhip, Oscar?
Decent.
Okay. All right.
All right. Have you gone beyond the walls of your own home? Do you have an escape plan, a way to get out of the neighborhood?
Yeah, I got a little hatch I can crawl out of my room to get to my pickup truck, which actually has a switch to turn off the lights if I got to drive away from somebody. And I got a set of NVGs in there, so I can drive in the dark. Well, you know, I can get far enough away. They don't see brake lights. They don't see headlights.
Wow.
That's nice.
Omar, you should take a tip from the office.
I need to
get
that,
the thing
that
turns off the lights and the taillights. And that's very cool. What's an NVG you mentioned? What's that stand for?
NVG.
Is that night vision?
For a while. Yeah, they're night vision goggles.
Night vision, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, officer. It sounds like you got it going on, man. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Talk to you later. I'm afraid I'm going to hear Oscar's name in the news.
All right. Let's do Jay, who apparently not only has an escape route, you guys, but he has used his. This isn't just theoretical. This one has worked
on you,
for him.
I know. He actually used it.
Omar's just eyeing the sewer.
I know.
Hey, Jay.
Hello.
You got the cops came and you ran?
Yeah, I had a warrant at the time. I was asleep in my bed, comfortable, and started hearing the pounding on the door. Didn't bother the chick, but I'm pretty sure the cops, the way they're pounding. So I dove out my bedroom window, ran through my backyard, hopped my back wall, and hit my neighbor's gate, and I was hiding in my neighbor's garage till they left.
Doesn't sound like much of a plan, but it worked.
And then what did you do? Did you just never go back to your house again?
Well, yeah, I mean, I waited a few hours, and I walked around the block, and I had seen they were gone, so I tested out. I called home, and my brother said they had left already.
Was the girl happy? Was the girl happy?
What girl?
I thought you said there was a girl in your bed, no?
No, I was asleep in my bed.
Oh, asleep in your bed. Okay. All right, I got you.
I dove out the window.
So you jumped out the window.
It wasn't a planned escape, but that was my only exit.
All right. So that was good. That was quick thinking.
So they whatever still after you?
Yeah, whatever happened with that warrant? What happened next?
Well, I ended up, it was about a month later, they caught me in the streets.
Nice work. Good work, Jay.
Another success from the Kevin and Bean family. Speaking of Linkin Park, 1 hour from right now, you can win your tickets to see Linkin Park along with the Killers and Jack White and Fun and Bush and Garbage and so many more. We're talking about the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're almost there, kids. The shows are this weekend. We've got the tickets for you just after 9 o'clock this morning. Then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Pit tickets and backstage passes. Details at K-Rock.com.
I know what's going on here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Internet's top cooking show, which is not what you expected to hear about on today's Kevin and Bean program, because that's only because you haven't yet seen Epic Mealtime, which is epic. And the host of the program, Harley Morenstein, joins us in studio right now.
What up, what
hey,
up?
Harley, how
thank
are you,
you for
man?
Having me.
Of
Harley,
course.
a.k.a. Sauce Boss, a.k.a. Michael Jordan of Meat, a.k.a. Justin Bieber Bacon, a.k.a. Snoop Dogg of Steak. A.K.A. Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
Exactly. The Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken. That's your undisputed.
I don't even know what it means.
I wanted that
you
title.
You can take it.
It's
you can borrow it.
Can
today.
I?
Yeah,
all right.
You got that today. You're Jeff Goldblum
Harley,
of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
First of all, congratulations on the ridiculous success of Epic Mealtime. We have so many questions for you, starting with, what's your background? How did you come to be the host of a cooking show on the Internet?
Well, I'm a teacher, so the fact that I host the number one cooking show in the world makes no sense at all.
Right.
And just goes to show you how crazy it is in 2012. And I'm always like, it happens once a week, I'm like, what am I doing? What am I? Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
What did you say? Your teacher? Your teacher? What kind?
Elementary, high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't done it for 2 years, and no one believes that I did do it.
Did you have any training in to be a chef?
No, nothing. And
what's
the guys on the show, none of them had training. None of us. And I think that's the beauty of it is it's just so dumb. Just a bunch of dummies in the kitchen. It's kind of dangerous when you really think about it. Don't do it. Don't do what we do at home.
Right. What was the idea? Where did it spark from?
You know, just grabbing some drinks in the backyard with my buddies, and it was like, you know, when you have those moments, wouldn't it be crazy if we did this?
Right.
We actually did it.
Most of the time you laugh it off and move on to the next. Yeah.
We didn't move on. And now this is what we do every single week. We are making 100,000 calorie meals, wrapping them in bacon, dumping liquor all over them, and getting drunk while we eat.
It's not a diet show.
Listen, it's tough. It's tough, but you know we're doing it for you guys. You know? We do it for
Look,
you guys.
I get fat watching it. I do know that. Why is that the direction you guys decided to go? Is over the top, crazy, crazy food like anything you can possibly imagine. Throw into a pot.
You know, the point was never like, oh my god, wouldn't it be crazy if like you know we should totally shock people? We were just doing it, and it just escalated.
Wait,
very
you were
quickly.
Just doing that naturally?
We threw burgers on a pizza, and we're like, that's funny and fun. And then before we knew it, we were stuffing 50 birds inside 10 pigs and attaching them like rear to mouth, wrapping them all in bacon, garnishing them with Baconators. And that's when I was like, whoa. A year later, I'm like, what are we? What are we?
What are you is a great question.
Yeah, we're monsters. We're horrible, horrible monsters.
But I will tell you what I love is no matter how ridiculous the item is that you make, and I'm thinking particularly of the burgers stuffed in the ravioli, it's not like you make it for yucks. You make it and eat it. You sit down at the end of every show and you actually eat every bit of it.
Listen, like you like ravioli, you like burgers. Well, you'll like burger ravioli.
That's
I
not
don't
necessarily
doubt
true, by the way.
It is on Epic Mealtime. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I've noticed that the sum of all parts is greater than the individual ingredients added.
But I'm going to suggest most of the time that's true. Sometimes it's got to backfire and just be nasty.
Yeah. If you like turtle soup and you like Jack Daniels, I have news for you. You're not going to like Jack Daniels turtle soup. I tried it. That was bad.
All right. Good.
But aside from Epic Mealtime, we also have Epic Chef, which is
next
Friday. We basically took the whole Epic mentality and applied it to a competitive-based cooking show.
Okay.
So we got like two dweebs. We pit them head-to-head, give them secret ingredients, a briefcase filled with bacon, a bottle of liquor. They got a time limit, and I'm literally in their face the entire time.
Yelling and screaming?
Oh, it's horrible. I feel bad when we're looking at the edits. I'm like, I feel bad for these guys. This is a grown man here, and I'm like fully drunk yelling in his face, and he's dealing with like a hot pot of oil. Well, you know, it's the internet, you know?
Yeah.
How does somebody win Epic Chef? Do you decide which one tastes better at the end?
Yep. It's me with some guest judges. We have some fun people on the show, and we basically, you know, we give them the thumbs up or the
thumbs
down. I'm
guessing no one wins. I'm just guessing you do it for the fun of it.
No, you lose. You come on the show, you lose.
Right.
Automatically. You're getting, like, liquor thrown in your face. It's hot. The fire's going on in the kitchen, and I'm on your ass nonstop.
Now, the people that you have on, are they trained to be a chef at all?
Way more than me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Way more than the guy in their face yelling?
Yeah, exactly. Tell them that they're doing it wrong. But that's it. The whole show is about wrong. It's about doing it wrong. I remember we had a real chef early on, and he was like, I was like, oh, yeah, we'll just take some veal and put some cheddar on it. He's like, oh, you don't mix veal and cheddar. And I was like, get out. You don't tell me what you can't mix. As far as I'm concerned, if they both fit in the bowl, I mixed it. All right?
Now, we're going to hear some tape in the next segment here from the program. Again, we're talking to Harley from Epic Mealtime here on the Kevin Bean and Sean Kerouac. But before we break, just because I want to see Lisa's face as you describe this, if you can remember, Harley, the dessert that you made.
I remember everything.
Tell me the dessert that you made, the stuff that you put on that that monstrosity, because it had to be well over 100,000 calories.
Which one?
Which dessert?
Which dessert?
Geez, I'm sorry. Cinnamon. It had to involve chocolate.
Oh,
I mean,
cinnamon.
Just...
Yeah, the cinnamon burger, the Cinnaburger.
Okay. Is everything a burger with you?
You know what? I love hamburgers. does anyone here not love hamburgers?
I love hamburgers
right?
as well.
Yeah. They're so good. And
right.
Really, hamburgers is just a sandwich, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Why do we give it that special title, hamburger? It's just a sandwich, but whatever. Give it to it. I love it. Cinnaburger we took huge cinnamon rolls and mixed it up with some candy bacon, which is bacon with some cinnamon brown sugar. We usually add some whiskey to that.
Mm-hmm.
And a ton of chocolate.
Okay.
We made a huge patty out of chocolate Rice Krispie squares.
Okay.
And just put a pound of like peanut butter candy bacon on top of it.
This is the greatest meal I've ever heard of.
Yeah, piled it up like about a foot high and cut it up into pieces. Yeah, it was really disgusting. It really really
sounds
destroys
terrible.
Your teeth. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It's just when you're done that, you kind of like... Like, you know, you're in bed late and you're holding your gut and you're like, oh, this is bigger now. I made this bigger tonight.
Yeah. All right. The program is called Epic Mealtime. EpicMealtime.com. Follow on Twitter at Epic Mealtime. And, of course, Epic Chef premiering next Friday. We'll talk more with our guest, Harley, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Like a kitchen samurai, we slice precise and start constructing our fast food ravioli. This ain't Food Network. Ain't nobody throwing full burgers and bacon in their ravioli.
That's true.
There ain't. That's the voice of our guest, Harley Morenstein, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, from Epic Mealtime, which is the Internet's top cooking show. Of course it is. Epic Chef premieres next week as well, which sounds awesome. I hate to be that guy, Harley, that has to ask this question because it's got to be the most asked question ever. But
yep.
Seriously, why are you not a fat ass? What? How do you not weigh 800 pounds?
I'm so unhealthy.
You're thin on health.
Oh, my body's disgusting. It's a horrible, horrible body. It's being bad now. It's starting to break down in certain parts.
Is that right?
Yeah, basically killing myself for the enjoyment of strangers on the internet.
Well,
but it's worth it.
It is worth it for us.
And also, I got to say, like, we're huge meat eaters. So what we do is during the week, we just eat only meat.
Right.
You know? No bread, no potatoes. And then Epic Mealtime comes once a week and we just go ham on it.
So. Yes. Lisa, I thought about you when I was catching up on my mealtime videos this week, and I don't think you could eat one of these things that they made.
No,
I literally don't think you could sit down in
an unlimited
amount of time and eat it.
Well, it does sound like giant piles of meat, and what else do you use? Cheese. And
that's it. You're actually doing like what my job is. That's what I do. Giant piles of meat and cheese, and then we cover it in liquor and wrap it in bacon, deep fry it, and then wrap it in bacon again.
Bacon is in everything, though, right?
That does sound like a challenge.
It really is. And, you know, we never were like, oh, bacon is, you know, really popular. It's just so natural to take it and be like, oh, yeah, and then wrap it in bacon. Yeah, and
whatever
fry it in bacon grease, of course. Yeah, of course. And then wrap it in bacon again. It's just the easy, it's the go-to move.
Do you have people that are upset with you for unhealthy whatever, blah, blah, blah? There's always people out there complaining.
Totally, totally, yeah. We get people being like, oh my God, they waste the food. When in actuality, whatever we don't eat, the members of the cast bring home and it lives in their fridge for like 2 days
before they throw it out.
Yeah, and their family members usually come out and like cut off like a little sliver and have it for breakfast. We made an 84 egg sandwich once. It was an egg sandwich made of 84 egg sandwiches.
Right.
And we ate half of it on the show, and the other quarters lived in two of my buddy's places. And like his dad would come downstairs and like slice a little off, microwave it for breakfast. Like,
oh my God,
like just you could eat on it for a week.
No joke. It was. We made a barbecue coliseum. It was like made of ribs.
A barbecue coliseum.
Yeah, it was like a rib coliseum with tons of like mac and cheese and pulled pork inside and stuff.
Oh my God.
And that lived in my buddy's fridge for like a week, and he was really sick, and I was like, Amir, I'm like, have you been eating ribs 3 times a day every day? And he's like, yeah. Like, that barbecue coliseum got the best of you.
I know you guys have a cookbook. You sell a cookbook.
Yeah, we just started selling it this past week. shop.epicmealtime.com if you want to buy it.
Yeah, I saw it. You got all the t-shirts and products. The cookbook, though, I mean, do you really think that people are going to buy this book and recreate your recipes at home?
I'll have you know, people have already bought that book, and they better create recipes, otherwise it's just a waste of money for them. But we have some recipes in there, and it says, this recipe will feed 10 people.
Right.
And it's like, you know, one hamburger. Always comes back to burgers.
It's all about the burger.
It is. And then, you know, I mean, they can just mathematically decide how to make a smaller version of that, but you know.
But they probably don't.
But that's offensive to you if they do, though, right, Harley?
Well, listen, I'm just happy they bought the thing. They can do whatever they want, you know.
Well,
they
could
use this toilet paper. I'm just happy they bought it.
I am very excited about the Epic Chef competition. I think that sounds awesome. Mystery ingredients, just like the Iron Chef, except with way better ingredients.
And everyone on set is drunk.
And no one's a chef.
That's what it's like. It's really like a lot like Iron Chef, except everyone's drunk and I'm there. So actually, it's a lot like Epic Mealtime also. It's got that Epic Mealtime vibe as if we came in drunk and took over a food show.
Right.
And that's the vibe it's got. It's pretty incredible.
Isn't the internet just the most amazing thing that a guy like you, Harley, could be a star on a show like Epic Mealtime and probably make a living out of it? I mean, this is a wonderful world we live in.
The internet is a horrible place. Okay? It's a horrible place. There's nothing. It's a bad, evil lair. Okay? Lots of people get hurt on the internet.
Right.
It's scary. You got to have thick skin. You got to be prepared to shield yourself from the haters. Like, you got to go in with that mentality and you know, make a home for yourself.
Do you get a lot of hate?
Yeah, we get it all the time. Oh, fat douchebag. I get that all the time. I come to believe it. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I am.
I have seen or heard nothing to suggest that you should not believe it, Arlie. I gotta be honest. Go to epicmealtime.com on Twitter at epicmealtime. Harley, I don't know if you'll be dead by heart attack next time we try to contact you to be on the program, but if everything goes
according to plan, I will be.
You will be dead. Yeah. If you're not, though, you're welcome back next time. Thank you, sir, for coming
in. Thank you so much for having me.